When Mike Vrabel was hired as Tennessee Titans head coach, the process went very quickly. Vrabel interviewed with then general manager John Robinson, owner Amy Adams Strunk, among others, and about 48 hours later had the job. Finding Vrabel's replacement apparently is going to take a little while longer. And franchise officials, again led by Amy Adams Strunk, are going to cast a much wider net, it seems. It's been a week. Titans have conducted interviews, plan to conduct more interviews, and we are still waiting. So we are still waiting to see who is the choice. We will discuss some of the candidates, all of the candidates, as much as we can of the candidates in this episode of Believe in Titans with former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, are you staying warm out there?
Trying to. I hope you guys are staying warm in Nashville.
Denard, of course, is in Dallas. He's a little farther south, a little farther west.
Not
Didn't
warm.
quite get the winter blast that we did here in Nashville. John Glennon of the Nashville Post, how are you?
I am doing well, surviving the Nashville snow apocalypse.
Indeed, and I am David Beauclair, also here in Nashville. And you wonder if the weather, and there's more bad weather forecast for Nashville in the coming days here, if this is slowing down the process at all. I know a lot of coaches are doing interviews via Zoom right now, at least the initial interviews. I would think it at some point though you'd want to have people in here and look at them across the table from you, get a sense of who they are in person and how they command a room and that sort of thing. But the latest as we record this episode is that the Titans have requested interviews with 10 candidates. They have confirmed interviews with about half of those so far. John, why don't you start and give us sort of a rundown of this list of candidates? What jumps out at you? What do you see? What sort of trends do you see, if any? Where do you think the Titans are looking specifically in this search right now?
Well, it is, as you mentioned, it is kind of a wide net. They've looked at of these 10 names, I think six of them are from the offensive side of things, as might be the kind of the knee-jerk reaction after the Titans have struggled so much offensively the last couple of years. They've also got a second-year quarterback coming back. And potential franchise quarterback. So it's a natural thing to think they might lean towards offense, but it's not only offense. They've got three or four guys on the defensive side of the ball as well. They've got some of them that are young. A guy like Bobby Slowick, an assistant or an OC at in Houston. He's only 36 years old, I think. Mike McDonald, defensive coordinator for the Ravens, is only 36 years old. And then some of the more experienced guys too, like a Dan Quinn, the Cowboys defensive coordinator, or Aaron Glenn, DC at the Lions. So they are taking a broad cross section of candidates here. The ones we know who have interviewed so far, Brian Callahan, the Bengals offensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, the Ravens defensive coordinator, Antonio Pierce, the Las Vegas Raiders interim head coach, and Mike Kafka, the New York Giants offensive coordinator. Those are the only ones confirmed having interviewed so far. Some of the others we'll probably see in the next couple of days because they were involved with playoff teams last weekend, and they're only getting their first opportunity now.
Yeah, Dan Quinn, the Cowboys defensive coordinator, is on this list. I would assume he will be interviewed shortly. Same with Brian Johnson, the Eagles offensive coordinator. Both Detroit coordinators, Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, are on this list. And Detroit, of course, is still going. So we'll see how that affects things. And you mentioned Bobby Slowick. I read today where He apparently is putting teams off and says, I want to focus on the Texans and the job I have to do right now. If you want to talk to me when the season's done. So he's another one and he's one certainly Rand Carthen knows well. They were in San Francisco together. They might have to wait on them. Denard, as you look at this list, a guy like Antonio Pierce was in the league the same time you were. I think same with Aaron Glenn, the Lions defensive coordinator. Do you know those guys? Do you know any of these guys at all, or did you cross paths with any of the others on this list?
I know Aaron Glenn since college. He's from the Houston area. God, what an amazing cornerback. I had a chance to learn from him when I was at LSU and we played Texas A&M. And watching him play, I mean, he was a monster. He's not very big, 5'9", probably 175 pounds wet, and played, what, 14, 15 years. A lot of those years were with the Jets, made multiple Pro Bowls, all pro. God, what a phenomenal player. And God, look at the job that he's doing up in Detroit. I mean, he's got those young players believing, and that's why Detroit is winning. He's a great young coach, and he's doing a heck of a job. And, as far as Antonio Pierce, I don't know him quite well. So whoever they bring in, I think it's going to be a great situation for the Titans because these are coaches. If you get someone like AG, you get somebody that played the game like Coach Vrabel. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I think it's a new chapter for Tennessee, and I hope they make the right choice.
Yeah, I mentioned last week that Antonio Pierce was a guy who struck me as, it'd be a change, but it'd be very similar to Vrabel. And you kind of look at what's going on around the league right now. When you look at the success Mike Vrabel had here, you see what Dan Campbell, a former tight end who had a decent career, certainly not a spectacular career, but a decent playing career had in the NFL. You look at what Pierce did in half the season with the Raiders and how that was a completely different team. There's a few others. It seems to me that you can sort of feel like there's a trend developing in the NFL where there's going to be more of a premium placed on guys who were players in the league and who understand the locker room culture firsthand and do those sorts of things. Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota is another one who comes to mind, who has had success. And Denard, you played for Jeff Fisher, who was not a star in this league, but had a short career. Played, was a member of the '85 Chicago Bears team. Did you ever feel like, he had a, he understood what players needed better than some other coaches you had along the way?
Absolutely, absolutely. Coach Fisher was he was nurtured by Mike Ditka. That was his mentor. And he had a lot of similarities as Coach Dick. He wasn't as mean because he was from California. But one of the things I love about Coach Fisher, when you play for a coach that's played the game, I think that coach at times can really, he can empathize with players and what they're going through as opposed to sometimes a player or a coach that's never played the game. I mean, there are so many factors, but the thing that I loved about Jeff was he knew what guys were going through. He knew when guys were struggling. He used to hold us accountable. But the thing that I love about Jeff more than anything else is he was laid back and he kind of let you figure it out. And that's what his strongest asset was. And a lot of coaches don't let you do that.
John, we say that the Titans want to talk to these 10 coaches. They've confirmed that they've talked to four of them, and now there's already a report out that they want to talk to Brian Callahan, the Bengals offensive coordinator, a second time. Is that a clear indication to you that he's the leading candidate, the primary candidate, or just a strong candidate at this point?
I would say just a strong candidate at this point because, as we talked about earlier, some of these guys that were on teams that played in the playoffs last week really could not do virtual interviews last week. This is the time that they're going to be able to do their virtual interviews. So, some of the guys, like we mentioned, the coordinators from the Lions, Bobby Slowick has the opportunity anyway if he wants to do it this week. Dan Quinn, Brian Johnson, a lot of those guys didn't have the opportunity. So Brian Callahan of the Bengals, obviously they didn't go to the playoffs. He had the opportunity to do that, and so as a result, his schedule is moving a little quicker. But that said, I do like Brian Callahan in terms of what his resume suggests anyway. 5 years as the offensive coordinator of the Bengals. Now he has not been the primary play caller up there. Zach Taylor, the coach, the head coach has been the primary play caller. But certainly Callahan has to have had a lot of significant impact on Joe Burrow, helping turn him into the quarterback that we know today, and then kind of utilizing all those weapons that the Bengals have, Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, et cetera, et cetera. He comes with a good reputation too. I should point out the NFL Players Association did their annual survey, and this year they added a section where they asked the players to rank their own coordinators from 1 to 10, all anonymous, obviously. Brian Callahan finished, I think, either third or fourth among all offensive coordinators in terms of ranking. Should also note that Aaron Glenn finished first among defensive coordinators ranked by his own players, and actually had the highest ranking in the entire NFL. But getting back to Callahan, like what he did this year, not only with Burrow, but when Burrow was injured, here's he's bringing in Jake Browning, guy who'd never played in the NFL before this year, and an undrafted free agent from a couple years ago. He came in and in like 7 starts, 9 games, threw for almost 2,000 yards, 12 touchdown passes, a quarterback rating of 98 point whatever it was. Pretty impressive stuff by a guy who again hadn't played at all. So I think that speaks highly of Brian Callahan and the system that he has in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mentioned last week that I'd be skeptical of Brian Callahan because of Joe Burrow's success. I think Joe Burrow would be a great quarterback, whoever his coordinator is. But the Jake Browning thing, a guy who was on their practice squad since 2021 and sat and watched and got scout team reps and did whatever a quarterback that far down on the depth chart can do, and was obviously ready when his moment arrived. I think that probably does speak well to the job Brian Callahan did in helping prepare him there. The other thing is, Amy Adams Strunk in the video interview she did with Mike Keith last week talked about the importance of the potential staff that a head coach would bring with them, and I think it's important to note that Brian Callahan is the son of Bill Callahan, who is the Bengals offensive line coach, a really well respected offensive line coach in this league, a guy who's been a head coach, and you wonder if those two are a package deal as part of this, and when you're looking at when you're looking at things that need to be fixed with this team, of course the offensive line is the number one thing I think we would all agree that needs to be fixed. And if you could get a guy like Bill Callahan, who seems it doesn't matter wherever he is, the offensive lines that play for him are terrific. So I think that bears watching too. If Callahan continues to gain momentum, and if he is ultimately hired, then is his dad going to be coming with him? Denard, John mentioned this earlier. There's obviously going to be a lot of emphasis placed on the partnership with Will Levis and whatnot, but. Do you think it matters a great deal whether it's an offensive background coach, a defensive background coach? Will that have a profound impact overall, or is it more the staff that a coach can bring with him?
Well, look at the trend. I mean, look at what's going on in the NFL now. I mean, look at what Sean McVay in LA. Who do they end up going with? Jared Goff. You're talking about Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. You look at Steve Steichen now, you got a young quarterback in Indianapolis. I mean, look at the names. I mean, it's the writing on the wall. And you said something about Bill Callahan because I actually played against him when he was in Oakland. He was a head coach there. And I tell you, that line that they had in Oakland was amazing, David. They were as good as it get. They had some dogs on that offensive line. So yeah, right now you're talking about a young coach. He's what, 39 years old? And not to mention, David, if you look at the players that he's worked with, let's not forget now, Brian Callahan was on that staff in 2015 that won a Super Bowl with Denver Broncos. And where they had Osweiler and Peyton Manning, he was the quarterback coach. He's also worked with Matthew Stafford. He's worked with Derek Carr. So he's good at nurturing young quarterbacks. And I think this would be a great fit because you got Will going into his second season. And of course, you want somebody that's been a quarterback coach, not to mention your offensive coordinator. Now, I think this would be a great, great relationship between those two if they can put this together.
You talk about guys like McVay or O'Connell or Mike McDaniel in Miami's obviously gotten a lot of buzz this year. If you were hiring Denard, would you want a head coach calling plays, whether it's offense or defense, or does that matter to you?
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you look at San Francisco, when Mike McDaniel got the job at Miami, he came from San Francisco, right?
Yes.
So when
Yes.
you look at the 49ers, and I know when you look at the 49ers, who do you think is was call, making pretty much calling those plays?
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle
Kyle
Shanahan.
Shanahan.
And I know this personally because Kyle Shanahan, again, he learned from his dad, but who was the offensive coordinator in Denver when Mike Shanahan was the head coach? Gary Kubiak.
Gary
Yeah,
Kubiak, there
right.
you go. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's right.
so, and a lot of times Mike would be the one who's calling. Q would set everything up. But again, if you think about it, David, you're actually learning on the go. So, I mean, I think it's a great, I think this would be a great relationship. I think Callahan would be an excellent fit in Nashville.
John, same question to you. Do you want your head coach calling signals, or do you think it's too much these days?
I tend to think the latter. I tend to think, it seems to me that the trend now is more, I'm kind of the CEO head coach, sort of like Mike Vrabel has been the last couple of years, ever since he kind of gave Shane Bowen, signal calling duties on the defensive side of things. I think if you're of that personality and you're a good kind of leader of men and someone who runs the entire ship well. You see it in Jim Harbaugh as well. He wasn't the play caller for Michigan either. Despite a background as an NFL quarterback, and certainly they thrived up there. So I think to me an NFL coach has enough on his plate. I like him obviously to have a specialty. On one side of the ball, the other, and frankly, I'd prefer offense. With the Titans, but I think passing on those responsibilities to two other guys and overseeing them and being as hands-on, as much hands-on as you want to be, I kind of think that's more the way to go. I think it's an awful lot of responsibility that has increased over the years to be both head coach and a play caller on either side of the ball.
Yeah, I agree, and I think about I think about Mike Vrabel saying at one point, those who know the rules can find ways to take advantage of them, and I always felt like Mike Vrabel probably knew the rule book better than pretty much anybody he was coaching against, and there are there were moments in there were moments in games where you felt like he was so consumed by, okay, what can I possibly come up with here? And there's probably very few during the course of a season, but if you can find two or three that give you a big advantage, and I think one of the reasons Mike Vrabel has such a good reputation, and why people outside of Nashville in particular are up in arms and can't believe that the Titans would have fired him, whatnot, is there is the image of that playoff game against the Patriots a few years back when he had Bill Belichick losing his minds to the referees because Vrabel was exploiting the rule book to run time off the clock late in that game, and I think that's one of those. That, you know, that's like a highlight reel play for a player that just sticks with you for your entire career. And it has served and will serve Mike Vrabel very well that way. So I'm the same way. I think I almost feel like if I was hiring and a coach told me, yeah, I'm going to be the one calling the plays, I would almost cross him off my list right there. You'd have to be really, really impressive in a lot of other ways. I know when I was watching the Rams Lions game on Sunday, there are moments when the Rams defense is on the field and Sean McVay's face is in his call sheet and whatnot. I mean, it's personal preference, obviously, but that would bug me if I was the owner of a team. But
I got a question for you, David.
yeah.
All right. Last year we were having a discussion about one individual not getting a head coaching job, so he left to go to Washington to be the
Yeah.
offensive coordinator. Now, we haven't heard much about him, but the coach in Kansas City, do you know who the offensive coordinator is for
And
Kansas
Andy
City?
Reid is,
Andy
yeah. I
Andy
mean,
Reid,
he's
don't
got
you
Matt
know?
Nagy, and I guess he lets Nagy do it some, but no, Andy Reid's always got his face in a
Always.
call sheet. There's no, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm saying that would be my personal preference. And maybe it's because maybe it's because Jeff Fisher was sort of the CEO type, and I saw the success he had here, and Vrabel was. You contrast that with say Ken. I guess Ken Wisenhunt's the only Titans coach, since this team has been in Nashville, who was a play caller, and that was an absolute disaster there. We've mentioned some of these candidates. The Titans are not the only ones who are wanting to talk to some of these guys. I think I saw Bobby Slowik, as many as five teams want to talk to him. Aaron Glenn is on several teams' lists, so on and so forth. You wonder if some of these guys are going to have their pick of, I mentioned Ken Wisenhunt. He had his pick between Tennessee and Detroit in 2014 when he ended up here, and he surprised a lot of people picking Tennessee. John, I'll ask you, is this an attractive job that if it comes down to a tiebreaker, you think the Titans would win out over a lot of these other places, or no?
I think there are some things that could be said, certainly in the Titans' favor. You've got a potential franchise quarterback for the future here. I still think it's probably too early to say Will Levis is absolutely, set in stone. If you put up C.J. Stroud kind of numbers, okay, you're the guy. You're the quarterback of the future. I think the jury's still out a little bit on Levis, but he's certainly got that potential anyway. So that's a plus. You've got the number seven pick upcoming in the draft. That's another plus. You've got a ton of cap space, probably either the first or second amount of cap space by most of the figurings here. So certainly there are some things to like. But I think, on the downside, you've got a task ahead of you. This is not a team, let's say, is one good head coach away from making a march right back into contention. This team is, I think, in the early stages or in the midst of a bit of an overhaul, somewhat on both sides of the ball, especially in the offensive side. So, if you're a coach that figures you're going to need to win quickly, to win right away, if you're impatient, this is probably not your stop. But I think most coaches come in with the idea that you're probably going to get at least a couple of years to try to turn things around and move things in the right direction. So, is it the best situation out there? No. If I'm a head coach, I'd say, hey, the Chargers look pretty good with Justin Herbert sitting there at quarterback. Or the Reds, or excuse me, the Commanders with a ton of draft picks coming up in 2024. That looks pretty nice also. But there are some things to be said for the Titans situation.
Flip that around, Denard. If you're a candidate for a head coach, what do you need Rand Carthen and or Amy Adams Strunk to convince you of that would make you say, okay, this is the job I want?
I don't know. I mean, tell me what job is better than the other?
Yeah, I
I mean,
mean,
it's 32. I mean, you get what you can get. That's why they
yeah.
all interview for the same. They go to different clubs to try to figure out which one is a good match. And I
Yeah,
don't think the Titans stand above anybody else in the league, to be
it
honest
well,
with you.
and as quickly as things change in this league, as Jerry Glanville famously said, the NFL stands not for long, right? So you sit there and you look at the Chargers and say, well, they've got Herbert, but the Chargers actually have serious salary cap issues, and they're gonna have to unload a bunch of the talent that they have right now, and they could be headed for a rebuild with whoever takes over that job there. At least with the Titans, I think, John, you're right. There's a lot of free agency activity that's probably going to happen. You've got a high draft pick. I think you probably can feel like, okay, we can make some major changes to this roster right away and get it moving in the right direction. I think the big fear you would have if you're taking this job is you mentioned, John, you mentioned CJ Stroud, you've got Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, you've got Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. You feel like even if Will Levis is as good as you think he is, he may only be the third best quarterback in the division for the next couple of years, which is going to make it the challenge of winning the division that much more daunting. But we'll see. I remember, what was it, in 2020, Arthur Smith, for example, interviewed, I think there were seven openings, and he interviewed for all of them, and I think only got offered the Atlanta job. These things seem to work themselves out to where everybody settles on their guy in fairly routine fashion. It'll be worth watching as this thing gains momentum here over the next week or two, who all interviews where and how it shakes out. But certainly the Titans don't seem to be going off the rails at all, or going away from where everybody else is looking right now. They're not off the beaten path, so they might ultimately have to get into a bidding war for somebody. We will see. The one guy who hasn't, as far as I know, interviewed anywhere yet is Mike Vrabel. I saw where almost immediately Monday night after the Eagles were eliminated by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, there were odds put out that said Mike Vrabel would be the favorite to go to Philadelphia if Nick Sirianni is fired. There's not a lot of noise surrounding him right now. John, do we think that Mike Vrabel's going to get right back on a sideline, or are we starting to think that he's going to take a little break?
It's looking more and more to me like a break. It's funny. I just saw a tweet here just a couple seconds ago that said in Dallas, Mike McCarthy is coming back. He will return in 2024. Bit of a shocker after they got absolutely plowed in the playoffs again. But I think there are a lot of people connecting Mike Vrabel potentially to Dallas as well. And I've seen some connections made between Mike Vrabel and Stephen Jones of the Cowboys, who both of them were members of the NFL Competition Committee, so there may have been ties there. And then, I certainly thought that Mike Vrabel was going to be a shoo-in with New England, but apparently 99.9% of us were off on the wrong trail there, because Gerard Mayo basically had it written into his contract that he was going to be the man succeeding Bill Belichick. So I thought those, New England and Dallas made a lot of sense. Neither of those is going to happen now. So I got to think that the fact that we haven't heard anything about Mike Vrabel now yet makes me think maybe he's ready to take a bit of a break, maybe a year. That surprises me, because he certainly doesn't seem to be the guy that runs out of energy or needs much of a recharge at any point. And if he does take a break, I can't imagine it would be more than a year. This is the classic example of a guy who lives, breathes, and loves football. So I'm surprised that he's not willing to jump right in and get back in the mix, if that is the case. And even if it is, I don't think it would be for more than a year.
What about you, Denard? Do you think a year off would be good for him, or would it be harder to come back after a year off?
I think a year off would be great. Mike McCarthy did that before when he was fired at Green Bay. He took a year off and then he, came to Dallas. And I think it'd be a good way that he can kind of revitalize and kind of get energized a little bit because it takes a lot out of you. So I see him probably taking a year off and just see if like a good job and a good fit will open for him down the line.
One guy who is not going to take a year off, but also might not, likely will not be back. We talked a little bit last week about Derrick Henry seemingly bidding farewell to the fans at Nissan Stadium after the season-ending loss to the Jaguars, or the victory over the Jaguars, excuse me. He appeared this week with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton on their Bussin' with the Boys podcast, and spoke about his future, and didn't say he's definitely out the door. Certainly acted like he doesn't know for sure what's going to happen, but he feels like the Titans are moving on and moving in a different direction, and certainly that the decision to fire Vrabel figures into that, and that his primary goal at this point is to find a situation where he can make another run at the Super Bowl. So, John, as you listened to that, did you hear a guy who's kind of saying one thing, but knows in his heart of heart he's absolutely out the door?
I think he believes that is very likely the case. What kind of strikes me too, though, is that it's kind of refreshing in some ways. He seems like to be a man at peace with that. There's not the what you hear in so many guys who are playing out their contract. Why aren't I not getting another offer immediately? Or I can't believe that this team has turned its back on me, so forth. Derrick Henry seems to be a very practical-minded guy, understands that these sort of things happen. Teams go in one direction, players go in another direction, despite all the accolades, despite all the numbers that go up. Sometimes it's just time for a change and time for a new direction. And Derrick Henry said, "Yeah, I'm okay if that happens. I'm a Titan for life," basically is what he said. But his first priority now is that Super Bowl ring. And I would find it hard for anyone to say that the Titans right now are a Super Bowl contender for 2024. So, I think he's at peace now, having said his piece with to the fans, to the organization, to everyone. And I found that, as I said, refreshing. What I thought, just real quick, what I thought was interesting about Derrick Henry's talk with the guys on Bussin' with the Boys were kind of two of the things that he said about the past as opposed to the future. One of his regrets, obviously, was not getting that Super Bowl ring when the Titans were so good, 2019 to 21. He said, "You don't realize it in the moment, of course, that but we had a team," is what he said. "We had some dogs on that team. I couldn't believe we couldn't get it done." Then the other thing he regretted, those first 2 years with the Titans, when he said, "My head just wasn't in it," a lot of times. It just I spent too much time wondering, why me? Why am I here? Why did the Titans draft me? When they had DeMarco Murray, acquired in a trade. And he said it took him until 2018 and to talking to a lot of people, Sean Alexander, Eddie George, Mark Ingram, et cetera, before he really got the right mindset and really took off. So that may have been the most interesting part of what he talked about.
Denard, a lot you hear guys say it all the time. This is a business. This is a business. This is a business. Does everybody eventually get to that point that Derrick Henry is at, where they really do understand, or is that a hard place to get to for a lot of guys?
Guys understand that because when you start getting older, we know that the writing's on the wall. A lot of times your time is up. We've seen that in Eddie George. He spent, what, 8 amazing years in Nashville. He's the all-time leading rusher. Again, the exit, we saw it. And myself, when I was about 30 years old, I realized, the time is it's coming to an end. And not to mention, you just know, and I love what he said. He says, listen, winning a Super Bowl is his top priority. He knows he's 30 years old. He only has probably a couple of years left in the tank. And I still think he's a quality back. But when I look at Derek throughout the years, and I remember when he was talking about regret, did you think a lot of that came from the fact that when they traded for DeMarco Murray, and not to mention in 2018, he was going against, was it Dion Lewis? And
Yeah,
then
Lewis, yeah.
think about it. At Alabama, you know, he's the man. And then you come to Nashville and now you're having to share responsibilities. Do you think that had an effect on him?
Yeah,
Oh,
I don't think there's
absolutely.
any doubt. You know, he comes in as the Heisman Trophy winner, had 2,000 some rushing yards, all kinds of touchdowns. I'm sure he fit, you know, and he was the national high school record holder. I mean, he's always been the man wherever
Man.
he's been, pretty much. I think he had 1 year at Alabama where he had to kind of wait his turn a little bit,
He
but
did,
yeah,
yeah.
I'm sure it was different and it was an adjustment for him. But he will, you know, he will certainly be remembered as one of the greatest Titans of all time. And it'll be interesting if wherever he ends up, if he comes back next year, to see the kind of reception he would get at Nissan Stadium. But that is well into the future. We will be back a week from now to discuss the latest developments in the coaching search and anything else that takes place. Until then, Denard Walker, thanks as always.
Thank you.
John Glennon, thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
And I'm David Beauclair. Thank you all for listening to Believe in Titans.